When you stay at a Vrbo vacation home, the host doesn't stay with you. So when you share an inside joke, sunscreen, or couch, it will only be with people you want to be there. Because without privacy in your vacation home, it isn't really a vacation. Is it? Only whole vacation homes. Always private. Book on the Vrbo app. When you stay at a Vrbo, the host doesn't stay with you. Because a vacation home with a stranger sounds a little bit like a horror movie. Only whole vacation homes. Always private. Book on the Vrbo app.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
Never again. I think the American people should be saying, never again will we have our medical decisions be politicized. Never again will the government be allowed to get between our medical decisions and our doctors. This, what happened in the China virus pandemic with the federal government and we the people was unacceptable, and in the United States of America should never, ever happen again. And I mean all the medical tyranny from the government, and also all of you folks in corporations who said, oh yeah, or we're going to force you as a condition of employment to get the China virus vaccine that you had no way of evaluating whether it was safe and effective. And all of you companies, mark my words, folks, all the companies out there that forced their employees to get these vaccines, if it starts to come back in avalanche form, these vaccines were unsafe, the Congress may have indemnified the vaccine makers, but they didn't indemnify employers. I want you guys to be on the lookout for a tidal wave of lawsuits on employers that were stupid enough to think they could interfere in their employees' medical decisions. Bill Maher was talking about this on his program this week. Have a listen.
Private health care decisions. Be careful with that phrase. I read in the front page of the New York Times this week, there is a new voting bloc, a new constituency, anti-mandate. They said mostly parents, but these are people who are not going to vote based on Republican or Democrat. They're going to vote based on COVID policy. I'm one of them, and I don't even have kids. You know, it's a medical issue. I do not want to be dictated. There is no the science, especially in medical science. You can recommend whatever you like, but I must insist you don't insist how I handle my health. I never was.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
Obama.
Folks, listen to that. That was a liberal audience, a left-wing audience that said, yeah, that's what Fauci did, what the federal government did, what these big corporations did, what these businesses did, that was a step too far.
Obama told me, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, I did and I do. And my doctors, I know many of them, say very different things because doctors are afraid to speak out. You've written about this a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I want to listen to the ones who are sometimes afraid to speak out, although you can find them.
Yeah. I think that's the one issue where the Democrats are really, really weak on the freedom topic, is the freedom of speech issue.
Oh, you think? What an understatement. This is where I think Democrats are really weak, is on freedom, you know? Well, no kidding. Yeah, that is the new Democrat Party, anti-freedom.
Yeah, that's become a very difficult and fraught issue for Democrats. You know, ever since the beginning of the content moderation era on the internet, there are a lot of people who associate the Democratic Party with people being taken off the internet.
And because it's well-earned, because every one of these left-wing nutbags was out there saying that my free speech wasn't mine anymore in America, that it was up to these so-called content moderators who were not medical professionals to tell me I couldn't talk about medical issues that I was experiencing. and to explore different ways of treatment. They said, oh, no, you can't do that. Screw you. And they were all left-wing Democrats.
And, you know, people right. being afraid to say certain things. And that's, you know, that's not a positive, which is, and it's the complete opposite of what I remember liberalism being about when I was growing up. I mean, you know.
Especially in medical science, which is eminently debatable, and they've already been wrong about so much in this particular crisis that we've had, not to mention everything they've been wrong about in the past. So don't sit there in your white coat telling me we have all the answers. You obviously don't.
Obviously, you don't. And I am not going to lose my rights. I am not going to lose my health because you say that a vaccine that has no 3, 5, or 10 year data, oh, it's safe and effective. Oh, is it really? Is it really? No, they can't credibly make that claim. And because they can't, Dr. Robert Malone has joined several thousand other scientists around the globe to say, this far, no further.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to myself and my colleagues today, speaking to you from the heart about what we've observed and what we're recommending as the Global COVID Summit team of over 17,000 physicians and scientists from all over the world. We declare, and the data confirm, that the COVID-19 experimental genetic therapy injections must end. We must acknowledge that the genetic COVID-19 genetic injections cause far more harm than good and provide zero benefit relative to risk.
That's a very key point. Relative to the risk you're taking, meaning you have no idea, because we have no 3, 5, or 10 year studies, you have no idea what this vaccination and constant boosters being given, what it's going to do to your body.
For the young and healthy, they do not reduce COVID-19 infection, which is treatable and not terminal. Furthermore, the most recent data demonstrates that you are more likely to become infected or have disease or even death if you've been vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated people. This is shocking to hear, but it is what the data are showing us. The data now show that these experimental gene therapy treatments can damage your children as well as yourself. They can damage your heart, your brain, your reproductive tissue, and your lungs.
The reproductive tissue. That raised my eyebrow. You know that the likes of Bill Gates and others are big into population controls. Matter of fact, Bill Gates, we've got him somewhere on tape. Hold on. Let me look for this. Hold on a minute. We've got Bill Gates on tape talking about how vaccines could be used as a mechanism for population control.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
So these brainiacs who believe that the world has finite resources and the thing that's got to go is you. That's what makes a lot of us going, wait a minute. And of course, you all know Mr. Gates funds a lot of vaccine and vaccine research and vaccine distribution first to the third world. But now they're doing it to all of us. And he's maybe an expert on viruses on the computer, although they can't do much about the viruses on my computer. What makes me think he can do about anything about the viruses that are infecting my body?
This can include permanent damage and disablement of your immune system. We strongly recommend that these products now and in the future be regulated as the gene therapy products that they are, and require public involvement of the FDA's gene therapy scientists and committees in reviewing and approving these drugs. We believe that it's necessary to reestablish the 5-year minimum FDA testing period and to cease the emergency use authorization, and require full FDA licensure of all novel medical products used for COVID-19. We also strongly recommend that there be investigations of the actual causes of death and damage to millions who have been subjected to these mandatory mRNA and adenoviral vector gene therapy injections.
Including athletes at the top of their physical prowess. All over the world, young, fit athletes are dropping, keeling over, many of them dying from cardiac events, myocarditis. The most recent high-profile suspect case, although we don't have all the data on this one yet, but we do know the NFL was big into the social guilt. Got to get vaccinated. It was a social status symbol among many on the left. So we know the NFL pushed that. Over 90% of the NFL's players are quote-unquote vaccinated. And now you've got DeMar Hamlin, who collapsed in the middle of a Monday Night Football game, 24 years old, high to physical prowess, from a heart attack. And many people are starting to ask questions. And it's about damn time they did. Dr. Robert Malone will be up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast to answer some questions about where we go from here with the vaccines.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Why get your news from people who don't share your values? Get news stories from Texas Scorecard. We provide real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
All right, folks, let's get to our guest, Dr. Robert Malone, a man who really needs no introduction these days. He's an American physician, a bioethicist, and a biochemist. He is the co-creator of the mRNA technology many say is being misused in the China virus vaccines. Doctor, welcome back to the Salcedo Show, and glad to have you here, sir.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks for a chance to chat here in the new year.
Yeah,
and also talk to your audience.
Absolutely. And you know what? Before we get into the vaccine and what you've been up to, let's just talk about where we are with the virus as you and I are speaking. Right now, China has a massive resurgence of the virus. You and your colleagues, what do you think is behind why it's ravaging China 2 years in this badly?
Well, first off, we always have to be wary that any information out of China is politicized, it's weaponized in some way. And that's a lot of what led us to this mess of a public health response in the first place. So it could well be that what's going on in China is akin to what happened under Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, in that they, through these very harsh policies, they may have succeeded temporarily in resisting the pressure of this virus infection. But like a lot of things, if you put off the inevitable, it just gets worse when it finally hits you. And that certainly happened in New Zealand, where instead of a kind of a gradual growth of viral infection and development of natural immunity in their population, general population, that they could have easily mitigated through early treatment. When it finally got on the island and started spreading, it just went through like wildfire. And that could be what's happening. It could be that there is a new or more evolved, highly infectious Omicron. What I understand in China is that it is still really within the Omicron genre or cluster of evolved viral mutants. So we may have a more infectious Omicron. It could be that it's more pathogenic. I don't think we have the data that we need to really assess what's going on. I hope that this is not a more pathogenic and more infectious virus that's circulating there. And I suspect it's not. It's some combination of them wishing to disclose information for some reason at this point in time,
well,
that serves their political interests, and some effect like what I referred to has happened in New Zealand, where you put off the inevitable, and then when it finally comes, it comes like a tidal wave,
and with a vengeance, right? And you know, here in the United States, and I'm a personal experiencer of this. Natural immunity has had, shall we say, a greater impact on our population, where folks have chosen not to take the vaccine, or maybe have only done it, you know, once for the first two courses, and then decided to just take their chances with a virus that many have conceded has become more contagious but less virulent. So where does natural immunity play in a virus's life? I mean, the virus is supposed to be, is its natural evolution is to become more infectious and less deadly. So where does natural immunity make a play as far as the United States as compared to China and what they're experiencing?
So it could well be, as you point out, that we absolutely had relatively poor uptake of vaccines, which the government laments, but many of us celebrate. And the data are that those that have been infected, particularly if they didn't take the jab, it gets a little more complicated if they took the jab, because then you get into this interesting terrain of immune imprinting or original antigenic sin. But if they didn't take the jab and they got infected, hopefully they got infected with Omicron, less pathogenic. But hopefully when they got infected, they had early treatment available. So they developed a broad, robust, multi-antigen, multi-pathway, in other words, cellular and antibody and innate adaptive immune responses. And that's been shown again and again to provide much more long-lasting, broad protection. And generally speaking, that protection is better than that afforded by these very narrowly focused vaccines, including the boosters. So what's happened in China? We're speculating, but they absolutely did have vaccine campaigns with products like Sinovac that are, I think most countries would say, are suboptimal.
Okay.
So they may have even had a worse situation than we did, where they didn't have widespread earlier. They administered a suboptimal product that also was narrowly focused, but perhaps even less potent. And now that perhaps is worn off, I can only speculate as to what's going on there, but it doesn't appear that they've been effective. I think we can conclude that with their campaigns to vaccinate. Yeah. And it could well be that the products that they've been administering, like the ones here in the States, have been driving this problem of immune imprinting or original antigenic sin, which makes it even more likely that you be hospitalized or die when you get infected. So that could be, thanks for Chris for kind of walking me through and exploring this. I haven't really thought this through like this before. Mm-hmm. But it could well be that they've got a problem with immune imprinting.
Okay.
That they have used these suboptimal jabs. The data are clear, and it's getting increasingly refined. There's this recent paper that shows that with the multiple jabs, you're not only driving towards the clinical observation of having a higher probability of hospitalization and death than the natural immune, but it could well be that in the case of China, they've driven them even further towards this IgG4 biased immune response. So this is a subcategory of antibody types that are typically seen in allergic responses, and they aren't particularly effective at controlling virus. That's a major new paper now that's out there that shows something about immune imprinting that vaccinologists have long known about. It's a major problem with flu, but I don't recall seeing documentation about a shift in antibody class with these repeated jabs. And that could account for what's going on in China is a counterproductive, ineffective vaccine campaign that's made a large fraction of their population, because they're able to act unilaterally, through this authoritarian structure and force everybody to take the same thing. And that's all that could be okay if what the government is forcing you to do is good for you. But I think our experience over the last 3 years is that they whiff the ball more than they hit it.
That's true. That's so true. You know, and I want to get to that conversation. A couple of more bullet points here on the antidote, if you will, that some are still prescribing. Travel bans have been floated once again, and in the last administration, they were called racist and xenophobic for trying to stop travel from communist China into the United States. Now the current administration is contemplating that. Now they're just saying universal testing. And then Zeke Emanuel, who claims he's a doctor, jumps on MSNBC and has this conversation with Andrea Mitchell. And here's what he said about what's really going to work here in the United States. Listen to this.
A travel ban isn't going to, and the negative test results are just going to, they're delaying tactics. They're trying to get us information. They're not going to help. Individually, for your viewers, Andrea, the best thing they can do at the moment, and I know a lot of them are resistant, is masks. N95, really high quality masks.
Okay. Now, I've seen studies, and I'm not an expert by any stretch, but I know that colds and flus can enter through the eyes. So,
I'm so glad you picked up on this.
So, I mean,
it shows what inanity this is.
Yeah.
This is just tribal. The first time I saw a clip of this guy on MSNBC, I was like, this guy is absolutely clueless. why are they putting him on? But it's MSNBC. It's Propaganda Central. Let's if we could imagine that they're trying to do something good instead of just being stupid or nefarious. Maybe they're trying to give hope to people and to not engage in the blatant fear porn that CNN does. At least they're trying to say to people, hey, here's something you can do, even though what they're saying is false. At least they're not just running around saying the house is on fire and you're all going to die, which seems to be both the White House's key strategy, you know, with their various mutterings about the unvaccinated are all going to die this winter. Mm-hmm. And CNN's predilection to this fear-mongering business model that they love to use. And we saw it so clearly trotted out with the monkeypox outbreak.
Right, but we can safely say that before we get into the discussion of the vaccines, that an N95 mask, I can't say scientifically it provides no protection. But
well, that's well put. There are some studies which suggest that an N95, as opposed to a particle mask, these blue things that we see right, everybody throwing away, or a cloth-based mask, an N95 properly worn, properly sealed, and that's saying a lot, can reduce transmission to some extent, knowing that the particle size that it filters is still quite a bit larger than the particle size of the virus. But it absolutely does nothing for your mucosal membranes in your eyes, right, which is a non-trivial source of infection. And then there's all the nuance of when you take the masks off and how you handle things. And do you touch the outside of the mask and then touch your eyes?
There
you know, it just goes on and on and on. The data are not strong even for N95. So the gentleman has... I think we could call that disinformation. It's incorrect information that's being deployed for political purposes. Well, so I think that meets the criteria.
Speaking of which, by the way, Dr. Malone is our guest, an American physician, bioethicist, and biochemist. As we're talking about disinformation, there's a phrase that's been used in advertising by the government and those who are pushing these vaccines, safe and effective. Now, would you please address both safe and effective for me?
So, tell me about last night.
Well, it wasn't what I expected. It had the perfect amount of spice.
Sounds hot.
It had all the flavor, and I wanted more. The ghost pepper wings from Popeyes are just so delicious.
Wait, I thought you were talking about your date.
Sometimes things aren't always as they seem, like Popeyes ghost pepper wings that have the perfect level of kick and flavor. Try them for only $5 today. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Tax extra.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Thanks, Chris. And I'd like to start off with a shout out to your statement about it being advertising. It's fifth generation warfare that's been deployed on us. And there's a series of fascinating articles I've just covered in a Substack that I'm just finishing right now coming out of Canada, where there's been very clear admission that their military deployed fifth gen warfare psyops on their population all the way through this outbreak. And the Twitter files demonstrate that the same has been done to us, and the documentation for so many others, through Brownstone and other outlets. In terms of safe and effective, so first off, let's take the safe. It was asserted to us that these products are safe, and we shouldn't be concerned about administering them to our youngest children and to pregnant women, and to the elderly or other susceptible populations. And that has gradually eroded over time. There was a lot of denialism about the myocarditis and pericarditis, but that's now become abundantly clear, and it cannot be, they can't cover it up with their propaganda. So they've had to concede that myocarditis and pericarditis do occur. They are clinically significant. They're more prevalent in young males under the age of 29. They have a clinically significant long-term outcome problem in terms of viral myocarditis for years and years and years. And the assertions that, we know it's safe, and if you press them on it about the long-term safety, they have to fall back and acknowledge that they don't really know what the long-term safety is because, of course, we don't have any long-term data.
There's no data. Exactly.
It's basic. An 8-year-old can figure this out. How can you know about what's going to happen 5 years from now when the product has only been deployed for a year and a half to 2 years? So it's just gobbledygook. It's very clear that we've been subjected to propaganda. And we have the admissions of Rochelle Walensky of the CDC director and Deborah Birx, formerly of the initial commission under Mr. Trump, that they didn't know that these products would be safe or effective. They just had hope. So this is in testimony and multiple statements and TV interviews. And so to be blunt, it comes down to our public health officials substituted hope for science and for data.
Before they tried to
obscure it by all of the lies and dissembling and misrepresentations that occurred from Tony Fauci on down.
Right. Before we get to the effective part, isn't this Florida is the only state that has said no, we do not recommend this vaccine for ages 18 to 49 males. Why only Florida, Dr. Malone?
The short version of that is Joe Latipo and his boss, the governor, have the necessary moral fortitude. I'm choosing my words. I could refer to round brass objects. they've taken an enormous amount of heat. Joe's fellow faculty members at the University of Florida now are seeking to reprimand him because the study that he did with the available data to help him draw those conclusions was underpowered or too small and blah, blah, blah. They go on and on. But he used the data that was available to him, and the study was done by his own public health infrastructure. He didn't go and do the analyses. So, Mr. DeSantis and Dr. Latipo, I think, are heroes. They've demonstrated the logic of the original founders that basically states should be laboratories for democracy, and I hesitate to use the word democracy. I know I'm going to get a whole bunch of grief for saying that. It's a representative
republic. Yes, yes.
But you get the point. Mm-hmm. Now the Attorney General in Louisiana I personally have just think a lot of Mr. Landry, and he's been quite brave and bold. And I've gone down there a couple times. Bobby Kennedy's gone down there and testified, and he was able to block his governor from implementing vaccine mandates in children. So there's somebody that got something done. And there's been progress in Tennessee. We went and docs went and testified, and now we have over-the-counter ivermectin as a consequence. And there was a group in Washington that was quite politically savvy that Ryan Cole and I worked with. And we were able to overcome the initiative being pushed by Governor Inslee, notably another WEF young leader trainee like Governor Newsom. Mm-hmm. We're adroit enough, and the facts were on our side, that we got that initiative to mandate jabs for all the children in Washington State blocked. So there's been some progress, but I agree, the state of Florida, even compared to the state of Texas, has shown considerable fortitude in the leadership. And I think we saw the wages of that come to play, you know, the consequences of that leadership resulted in a overwhelming win for the governor.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, let's not be too grim, but you're right. Many of the, particularly in the northern European nations, have now withdrawn vaccines for children. And some of them are completely withdrawing any vaccine mandate. Poland long ago got off that bus and got backlash from the European Union for doing so. They tried to withhold money, playing the same trick that the federal government plays on the states here. But, you know, why the others haven't had courage? I think that it's a mixture of political forces at work here. The leverage that the federal government has, even though by the Constitution they are not supposed to be regulating the practice of medicine.
Yep.
And money, man and mammon, the enormous financial power of the pharmaceutical industry, in really influencing election outcomes in politics all the way from the presidency down to the school board level. It's been an amazing ride.
Scares the hell out of me. What you're articulating scares the hell out of me. Let me set up the word effective with a personal anecdote. We can skip, you know, Lloyd Austin and Joe Biden and all these high profile people who have been jabbed a bazillion times, and they've caught the China virus.
Tony Fauci.
Yeah, Fauci too. And so I have my brother who is devout in his jabs and was actually volunteered for the initial clinical trials. I mean, he's been studying this from the very beginning.
Bless his heart.
I know, had his booster in September, and guess what? He had the virus by December. So let's just set that up as effective, ? And you say?
Actually, Chris, that's a really interesting and valuable anecdote. The data clearly show that in the highly jabbed, I hesitate to call it a vaccine because it doesn't stop infection, replication, or spread, never has, was never tested for that purpose. And they've been forced to the fallback position, the limited hangout of, well, maybe it helps with disease and death. Well, the data's coming in now that the more highly jabbed you are, and this is referencing a Cleveland Clinic study recently published, the more highly jabbed you are, the more likely you are to become hospitalized or die. And in the highly jabbed population, they're now being hospitalized or dying more frequently than the natural immune. So there's that. The data show, it's consistent with your story. Fascinating. There is a short-term parent protection from the booster that is probably eliciting a broad range of relatively low-quality antibodies to be increased. And that can provide kind of a mass effect. in helping to keep viruses down to a dull roar. Unfortunately, the data show that this drops off fairly rapidly in kind of fairly straight line over time, and it crosses zero effectiveness at about 2 months. And so your brother's timeline fits perfectly with the data. And unfortunately, the data show that after that 2 month period where it crosses that line, it actually goes negative. So negative effectiveness, meaning the jab will make you more likely over time, more and more likely after 2 months to become a diseased or die.
Wow.
Those are just the data. And it has to do, as I said before, with this phenomena that real vaccinologists have known about for decades called original antigenic sin or immune imprinting. And that's become really clear. It was clear last February. It was clear when I testified in the Texas Senate under oath and said that this was a problem. The literature showed that this is a problem and that I couldn't design a more effective vaccine for causing immune imprinting than the boosters that were about to be deployed. And I'm sorry to say I called that one right too.
Mm-hmm. You did. You absolutely did. So I know what you and your colleagues, I think you, the soundbite that we have played from you, you said 17,000 doctors and scientists all over the globe have come to a consensus in calling for the suspension of the use of these vaccines. Where do we go from here?
Oh, great. So that is absolutely the topic of the essay I'm in the middle of right now. Mm-hmm. I had to take a break from to do this broadcast with you. Obviously, we've got a problem.
Yeah.
We got layers and layers of problems. And that's the book with the image behind my shoulder here, Lies My Government Told Me and The Better Times Coming, is kind of a personal journey, but also intended to be a journey for those that are not yet awake. For your cousin, your brother, your grandmother, your coworker that is still caught up in the narrative and having trouble kind of breaking free of all the propaganda that they've been subjected to. Mm-hmm. And so it takes folks through a journey of discovery of what has taken place over the last 3 years and what the impact has been on people like myself and Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey and Meryl Nass and all these different folks so that they kind of experience it themselves. Then we get to the last part of the book, which is the part about how do we get to better times ahead, better future, and what are we going to have to do? And it's got a bunch of chapters in there about how to deal with the health and human service problems that we have right now, the problems of dual agency that is rampant throughout our government, where agencies both support an industry and regulate an industry, which just doesn't work. It's a bad idea. down to the level of a planting a victory garden, taking responsibility for your own health and your own food and the importance of building community and including intentional communities and what that means. And in some ways, that's all fine. A lot of these things are kind of longer term. And are we ever going to fix health and human services, or we just have to burn it to the ground? I'm increasingly convinced it's going to have to be the latter, not the former. But I think the whole government has lost integrity. I like to say,
it's true.
What does it profit a nation to gain the world and lose its soul?
There you go.
And I kind of think that's where we're at.
I give you another anecdote? When I got the China virus at the beginning of last year, I was introduced, because I have some medical professionals in my life, I was introduced to basically an underground of doctors who put their patients first and Dr. Fauci and the government last, and said, we're going to treat you as a patient, and we're not going to let the government get between you and us, said these doctors. And so I received the treatment that they recommended, which was not being recommended by His Eminence, Dr. Fauci. And I think that maybe there was a silver lining consequence is that now a lot of medical professionals who didn't see anything wrong with the government are seeing a lot of things wrong with government's interference in medicine and are determined never to allow that to happen again. What do you think?
From your lips to God's ears, it has been rough for the docs. And thanks for pointing out my role with the Global COVID Summit or International Alliance of Physicians and Medical Scientists, which is another organization that fits in with what you're describing. There's many that have been formed all over the world, and they've almost all of them taken huge hits from their government. So I just got put on by my local doc. I'm not going to name his name. I don't want him targeted. He and I have both been on stage at CPAC a couple of times. He just reviewed my medical history early this morning and has put me on the FLCCC long COVID recovery program. So this is the Pierre Corey Paul Merrick group. And he's convinced, he said, I'll just give this shout out. He said flat out, as far as he's concerned, the two greatest diagnosticians and clinical treatment specialists in the world right now are Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey. So that's a pretty strong endorsement.
Awesome.
But in terms of what people can do for themselves, and I was asked this question last Friday in a podcast, all these things, you know, building, you know, respecting, rebuilding integrity, respecting human dignity, building community, those kind of usual things that I talk about. And, you know, truth is a lion and set it free and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's all fine, but there's a lot of people that are kind of overwhelmed by what's happened. And if when they go down the journey of learning, as the book walks them through, about the role of these transnational corporations, the World Economic Forum, the corruption at the United Nations, the long-term planning that's gone into what we've all experienced over the last 3 years, collusion of our government to circumvent the First Amendment. I mean, that's the shocking thing for me about the Twitter files.
Yeah.
So we're going to get some more soon, but we now have clear documentation that people sworn to defend and protect the Constitution have conspired with big tech to circumvent the First Amendment. And what is the remedy for that? I'm perplexed. You know, there's no way that anybody's going to impeach this president and then get Kamala Harris. So, you know, what can we do about this? It is really a conundrum.
It is.
So here's why I come down for, you know, folks that you encounter in the street, you know, the person that's just looking at all this and learning about it and just going, oh my God, what can I do? This is so overwhelming. You know, or even the ones that are kind of activated and they want to protect their children's future, but they don't know what to do. I really think that it's very helpful to spend the time to read the various books that are out there, and there's a couple of them. I think Michael Flynn just put one out about fifth generation warfare. And you referred earlier to being subjected to the pressure of modern advertising. Fifth gen warfare, this information warfare that's been we've been subjected to, is like advertising on steroids. It is a battle for your mind and your thoughts and your emotions. The territory is not physical, it's mental. And if you go through, if you'll allow yourself to take the time this winter and read up on these things, and yes, I have a couple of Substack essays. They're free. They're great intros. One is called Introduction to Fifth Gen Warfare, and the other one is called Twitter is a Weapon, Not a Business. And wow. if you allow yourself to read those two little essays, that's a good starting point. And then read the books like the one that Flynn's just published, or the one that's out there available on as an ebook from Amazon and Kindle about fifth gen warfare. And if you'll give yourself the time to learn that, then it will help protect you, inoculate you against their ability to deploy this kind of tech against you and influence your thinking. And furthermore, the really great news about it is that fifth-gen warfare technology and approaches are really super low-tech. They're low energy. They're largely leaderless. And we all know that because, you know, who is it that's been doing this to us? I don't know. You don't know. Who's done this to us? Well, that's classic fifth-gen warfare, is there's no clear leader. On our side, we can do the same thing. And this podcast is an example of fifth-gen warfare in practice. So is J.P. Sears' use of humor and the Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
Those are fifth-gen warfare instruments, okay? Just the power of influencers is to help share information and frame topics, and then to, in that way, enable everyone else to start to amplify that information, deploy it, weaponize it, get it into the minds of those that are not yet unable to break free of the narrative, or they're in that kind of persuadable middle. And I'm not saying, I've written strongly about the importance that we hold ourselves to higher standards than they hold themselves to.
Sure.
We should not promote falsehoods, but we absolutely, every single one of us can act in a decentralized way to push the truth into everybody around us, through social media, through chats in the grocery store line. And what I'm trying to say is we don't have to be victims. None of us has to be a victim. You can all be truth warriors. Just learn about the techniques and deploy them.
First thing, I think you just named the podcast Fifth Generation Warfare. That's number one. Second thing, the name of the book, folks, author of Lies My Government Told Me, Dr. Robert Malone, an American physician, bioethicist, and biochemist. Sir, I appreciate the chat, and we got to do this more often throughout 2023.
Sounds like a plan, Chris. Thanks a lot.
That's going to do it for this Salcedo Storm podcast. Folks, this is the one you actually share with friends and family. When it comes to medical information, doesn't matter whether they're liberals or conservatives or Republicans or Democrats, your health should be above all of that. Your children's health should be above all of that. By the way, not only listen to this podcast, but keep it glued to TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com, one of the leaders in pushing back against medical tyranny inside the state of Texas. Also check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you track down me, the Chris Salcedo Shows, AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, an app for that so you can hear it all over the country, and on Newsmax TV, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we, the people. See ya.